If you're a maintenance supervisor for a commercial property, you've had to deal with everything from leaky faucets to flickering light bulbs. But nothing's worse than that ancient boiler that's lived in the building since the day it was built, 50 years ago. It's enough to make anyone lose their cool. That's where Grainger comes in. With industrial-grade products and dependable fast delivery, Grainger can help with any challenge, from worn-out components to everyday necessities. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Wherever you're listening across this, the greatest nation God ever blessed, welcome to a Tuesday edition of the Todd Starnes Show. Coast to coast on more than 150 outstanding radio stations and streaming live at ToddStarnes.com. Hello, fellow patriots. Jeff Stein coming to you today from the free state of Iowa and my home base at News Talk 1540 KXEL in Cedar Rapids and Waterloo, the 50,000-watt blowtorch scorching the heartland with accurate news and reasonable views. My privilege to fill in for Todd today, as you all know. In addition to being a radio and television host and best-selling author, Todd, like many of you, probably, he owns his own small business. And that includes the Mighty 990, the radio station, which is the flagship for this effort every weekday afternoon from noon until 3 Eastern. And as part of those duties, he's part of the Tennessee Association of Broadcasters. They even put him on the board of directors, so he's taking care of some radio business today. We'll be back tomorrow, just a scheduled day off to take care of those duties, and it's my privilege to connect with you folks in Starnes Nation, and we invite your calls. Got a lot of good guests on the program, as per custom today, but join us at 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926, same number you're used to using, and that's how you can connect with us in the Liberty University studio for this coast-to-coast conversation. Coming up at the bottom of this hour, we'll speak with a return guest to the program. She is Cheryl Chumley. Ms. Chumley is opinion editor for the Washington Times Online, also host of the Bold and Blunt podcast for the Times, and she has a brand new book that was released 2 weeks ago called God Given or Bust, Defeating Marxism and Saving America with Biblical Truths. Cheryl Chumley joins us at the bottom of this hour. Well, you tired of winning yet? Nah, me neither. And it's one thing to say America is back, because it truly is, but keep in mind the guy 4 years ago who wound up taking the oath of office, Joseph Robinette Biden Jr., he went overseas and buddied up to all of these foreign leaders and said, don't worry, America is back. And at the time, I took offense to that, and I think rightly so, because he suggested that somehow America went somewhere else. Well, no, America, that's you. We didn't leave, but his idea of what America should be was laid out on full display for the last 4 years. And now we hear so many people say America is back. What Biden meant was the old school cronyism of American government was back. How well did that serve you as an American citizen over the last 4 years? More and more, though, now in 2025, in the last 9 days alone, we have heard people say, yep, America is back. And what do we mean by that? In Trump 2.0, America is back means standing up for the rule of law consistently, not based upon political perspective. Under Trump 2.0, America is back means taking care of your citizens first before solving all the rest of the world's problems. In the Biden cronyism approach to America is back, payoffs, backroom deals, and trying to fulfill an agenda that had nothing to do with merit, but had to do with characteristics of birth. So when we say broadly now, America is back, yes, yet again, the citizens didn't go anywhere. But now the citizens are emboldened, and you can just feel it. What you can feel, and it's at both ends of the spectrum, those on the left are sputtering and stammering and have no idea what to say other than the word chaos. Because that's the only word they can think of to describe what Mr. Trump is doing, as in actually stirring things up. For the rest of us, and I spoke with a couple of elected officials, high-ranking elected officials in my state on my radio program here in Iowa, and they too are struck not only by the speed with which Mr. Trump is taking care of businesses, promises made, promises kept, but also how it makes them feel. More than one has said, you know, we thought we were doing pretty well, but now we need to up our game. Now we need to do even more. You used to hear about the concept of a rising tide lifts all boats. That's sort of what you've got going on here, just in terms of spirit. When you see Trump putting in the hours he does, when you see him handling all topics that come his way, you think, you know, I need to measure up. The presidency, it has said, is the bully pulpit. What the president says from the Oval Office or from the presidential podium, well, that carries a lot of weight. And this president does speak from those venues, yes, but he leads by example. And his use of the bully pulpit is, in essence, to say, just watch and try to keep up. A U.S. senator said to me that Trump coming into Washington was like a tornado going through town, and it was high time that a tornado did go through that town. Because when you think of how quickly government acts as opposed to your own life or your own business, government was woefully behind in terms of speed and capability, quite honestly. And if you're going to shake that up, if you're going to change that dynamic, you've got to just rip the Band-Aid off the wound. And that's what's causing so many people to bluster and cry and post videos, because they're not used to seeing government actually change. It's sort of like turning around an ocean liner. You don't just make a hard turn. It takes a long time to turn it around. Trump's acting like the whole thing is a speedboat, and we're just taking hard left and hard right turns, whatever's necessary, to make it different. And that's what the American people voted for. A coalition unlike any other. That's what they voted for. Now, is it going to be hit out of the park every time? Certainly not. Certainly not. No president would be. Are you going to agree with everything that he does? Not necessarily. I'd be concerned if you did agree with everything. But the spirit of saying, what you Washington insiders, what you swamp monsters have done for decades, for generations, has gotten us to this woeful state, has gotten us to this terrible condition where we are at now. So we did it your way for generations. How about we do it a different way, a way that serves the interest of the American people first? I've not been on an airplane in some years. I just don't travel that much these days with the work I do, etc. But I assume they still go through all of the motions of, in case of a disaster, this mask will drop down, and be sure to put your mask on first, they say, before helping someone else. Like parents, put your mask on before helping little Johnny or little Susie on with their mask. Because if you aren't taking care of yourself, you can't take care of others. That's the philosophy, right? It's the same thing with what some derisively call the America First movement. Now it's a perfectly appropriate movement. Because if America, as a country and citizens within the country, if America is going to maximize its possibilities, it has to take care of itself first. And if America is going to be able to help out other portions of the world as needed, then it has to be strong itself first. So before we can go fixing every problem around the world, should we choose to do that, and that's not necessarily a good idea, but before we go around trying to help everybody else, we got to take care of home. We got to take care of our backyard. We got to make sure that every citizen is safe, is able to pursue whatever dreams they wish to pursue. That's what America First is all about. We'll be happy to serve around the world as necessary, but we have to take care of ourselves first. We have to put our mask on first before we can help anyone else. So yes, I like saying America is back, because truly, as a country, it is not just the positions and policies, but it's what it is doing for all of us. The tornado known as Trump going through Washington is lifting up all corners of the country. Now, can this pace be kept up for 4 years? Well, conventional wisdom would be to say no, but there's nothing conventional about Donald Trump. The House Republicans are going to be a problem just because the majority is so slim and there are enough different factions within the caucus. They each have their own way of going, so you have to be concerned about that. I've heard others say this, so it is not an original idea on my part, and I apologize. I was not able to listen to this program yesterday, so I don't know what Todd spoke to you about, and again, I apologize for that. But these Republican members of the House who are off in Florida at their little retreat, they better plan a pretty good strategy, because they get one shot, and it's a generational shot. In other words, if they take care of business and take care of the American people, then the movement is going to extend beyond this 4 years of the second Trump presidency. If, however, they get bogged down in minutia, in petty fights, in focusing on their own goals as opposed to the goals of the nation, then it's going to be, historically speaking, one of the biggest missed opportunities ever. And I've heard this part said by others, and I repeat it, again, not my idea. But one of the things they ought to be doing at this retreat is saying, we pass laws. The president can only do so much with an executive order that then can be overturned by the next person. From Obama to Trump to Biden to Trump. Executive orders all over the place. Why? Because Congress has failed to act decisively. They need to look at some of these key executive orders that Mr. Trump has signed in his first week and say, how can we make that law? How can we turn that into something that has permanence and certainty for the citizens that we have been elected to represent? I have said many times the number one goal of a politician is to get elected. The number two goal is to get reelected. That's not how it should be, but that's how it is. Nowhere in there is there serving the public. It's time that that became the top priority. Yes, I understand, Congressman or Senator, you can't help people unless you are in office, and so you have to worry about being reelected. Right, I get it, but how about setting a record so that the voters have no question that you're the one looking out for them? And taking the Trump executive orders, the key ones, and making them law, it's a good first step. It's a good first step. 901-260-5926 is how you can join this coast-to-coast conversation in the Liberty University studio. Short break now. More on the other side. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd. Thanks for being along on this edition of the Todd Stern Show.
The new heart-pounding military thriller Valiant One has everything you need in a movie. With tensions high between North and South Korea, a U.S. military chopper crashes deep in North Korean territory. With the platoon leader dead and no rescue coming, young Sergeant Edward Brockman must find a way to get the survivors back to safety. He must rise to the challenge to lead his team on a daring escape through treacherous and hostile territory, with enemy soldiers hot in pursuit. Only courage can bring them home. Valiant One has all the grit and explosive action you'd expect, along with the story of survival and bravery under fire. It keeps you on the edge of your seat. All you need is the popcorn. Don't miss this new action thriller from Briarcliff Entertainment and Monarch Media. Valiant One, featuring Chase Stokes and Lana Condor, only in theaters January 31st. The new heart-pounding military thriller, Valiant One, only in theaters January 31st.
Welcome back to the Liberty University studio and the Todd Starnes Show. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd today. He's back in the air chair tomorrow. 901-260-5926 is how you can join the coast-to-coast conversation. Well, I know this will break many of your hearts out there, Starnes Nation, but Jim Acosta is leaving CNN. Or rather, CNN left Jim Acosta behind. He made that official today. Listen to this.
Just wanted to end today's show by thanking all of the wonderful people who work behind the scenes at this network. You may have seen some reports about me and this show. And after giving all of this some careful consideration and weighing an alternative time slot CNN offered me, I've decided to move on. I am grateful to CNN for the nearly 18 years I've spent here doing the news. People often ask me if the highlight of my career at CNN was at the White House covering Donald Trump. Actually, no. That moment came here, when I covered former President Barack Obama's trip to Cuba in 2016 and had the chance to question the dictator there, Raul Castro, about the island's political prisoners. As the son of a Cuban refugee, I took home this lesson. It is never a good time to bow down to a tyrant. I have always believed it's the job of the press to hold power to account. I've always tried to do that here at CNN, and I plan on going doing all of that in the future. One final message. Don't give in to the lies. Don't give in to the fear. Hold on to the truth and to hope. Even if you have to get out your phone, record that message. I will not give in to the lies. I will not give in to the fear. Post it on your social media so people can hear from you too. I'll have more to say about my plans in the coming days, but until then, I want to thank all of you for tuning in. It has been an honor to be welcomed into your home for all these years. That's the news. Reporting from Washington, I'm Jim Acosta.
Well, Mr. Acosta, I think you actually have already met your goal. If, in fact, you wanted people to not give in to the lies, I think they have adopted that because your ratings cratered. The ratings for the Chicken Noodle News Network, as we used to call it in the early days. The ratings for CNN cratered. That's not as much as a free fall as MSNBC, but, you know, nothing is other than cliff diving from Mexico. But don't give in to the lies. You're right. And they didn't. And that's why Donald Trump has been elected president. I respect anyone who wants to walk away and do a different job, but you have to wonder what that will be going forward. Think of the openings that are available at various news outlets. Think of the number of people searching for those. Well, maybe you'll just do something online. Oh, that's definitely a path to great success. Ask Don Lemon about how well that's all going. So if Mr. Acosta truly believed that everything he was doing was with a pure heart, then fine. There were times, however, and you've seen it if you could stand to watch the channel. I sort of have to do it for a living so you don't have to, right? Isn't that what Rush used to say? Don't worry, I'll watch it so you don't have to. I don't claim to be to that level. But I've seen enough of his work to suggest that it's more than simply giving the powerful a hard time and representing people. There seemed to be a fair amount of grandstanding in that, and I say that because you can see other people who do the same job. White House correspondent, for example, like the great James Rosen of Newsmax. Story's not about the reporter. It's never supposed to be. So there you go. CNN is now an Acosta-free zone. You're safe. Bottom of the hour break coming up. Jeff Stein in for Todd. More on the other side, including Cheryl Chumley here on the Todd Starnes Show.
For a number of years, customers have been asking if MyPillow sells cross necklaces like the one Mike Lindell proudly wears every day. Well, they are excited to announce that Mike has partnered with a jeweler right here in America to create a beautiful sterling silver MyCross. You can save 30% today using promo code STARNS at MyPillow.com and click on the radio podcast square or call 800-839-8506 and be sure to use that promo code STARNS. You can choose from the women's or men's style. The MyCross for women has a more delicate look, reversible with mother-of-pearl style translucent white enamel on one side and black enamel on the other. The MyCross for men has a slightly larger cross with black enamel and a slightly longer, thicker chain. This amazing offer won't last long, so order now. Just go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio podcast square or call 800-839-8506 and use promo code STARNS.
Welcome back to the Liberty University Studio and the Todd Stern Show. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd today. 901-260-5926 is how you can join the conversation. We'll take your calls in the next segment, but we go now to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, and we welcome return guest to the program, Cheryl Chumley. Ms. Chumley is the host of the Bold and Blunt podcast for the Washington Times, where she serves as online opinion editor, and her latest book, released 2 weeks ago, is entitled God Given or Bust, Defeating Marxism and Saving America with Biblical Truths. Cheryl Chumley, Jeff Stein filling in for Todd. Thanks for the time. How are you?
Hi, Jeff. It's great to be with you. Thank you for having me.
Always good to talk with you. Give us your sense of the Trump effect. Here we are, what, 9 days into Trump 2.0. I don't even know where to start, but what's jumping out at you at this moment?
Well, to play off the title of my book, he alone is defeating Marxism, right? With a stroke
yes.
of the pen. This puts to shame Barack Obama's who needs Congress to have a pen and a phone, right? Donald Trump is busily turning America back to what he describes rightly as the golden age of America by unreeling and undoing so much of the anti-Americanism that we suffered under Joe Biden. And hopefully Congress will pick up the tab here, pick up their role, and start codifying what he's doing by executive order.
That is the only way for there to be any level of permanence, or else we're just going to have this wild swings. Every time a new president comes in, the first thing they do is spend a day undoing what the other person had done. That's no way to serve the American people, and it doesn't allow us to maximize our potential as a nation.
It doesn't, but it's what Democrats love, right? Because if they had to politic and campaign on their principles, on their ideas, first off, those are few and far between. But second off, if you really get down to the nitty-gritty of what they stand for, it's Marxism, it's collectivism, communism, everything against America, and they would not be able to win elections. And so they generate this chaos because they thrive in chaos, and if they have to go by the Constitution and a limited government with rights being respected for the individual, they're lost, they're out of office, they have no power.
The DEI era would appear to be over, at least overtly, and I wonder how many of these companies, and I think the number is probably virtually all, that are abandoning DEI are just doing it to curry favor with whoever's in power. It's not like they all of a sudden saw the error of their ways.
Yeah, I've thought about that myself. It's a very valid point that you raise, and it's something that we need to consider and take to heart, right? And it's the same with the big tech people. I mean, do we all think that Mark Zuckerberg is this great savior of free speech all of a sudden? So we do need to keep in mind that as the political winds shift, so too all these gains that we're seeing in America right now, which is why I say we always need to make the greater war, which is the right for God-given individual liberty. So no matter who is in office, which party is in positions of power and influence, we as citizens always have our individual rights.
Have you been surprised with the scope and speed of how things have gone so far in this new administration? I mean, obviously, he told us what he would do. I'm not sure all of us thought, or at least I'll speak for myself, I'm not sure I thought he'd do it all in the first, you know, 5 minutes. I'm not unhappy about it, but I'm just wondering what your take is.
Yeah, you know, I guess I've been so excited, right, and inspired and jubilant that I haven't really reflected on how surprising it is that Trump has managed to do this. But, you know, that's a good question because, honestly, he campaigned on this. And the first time he came into the White House, he campaigned on several things, too, and he took speedy action. But I think this time is really head-spinning speed, right? And part of the reason is because it's not just Trump alone bucking the Democrats and the media and the globalists, and even some in his own Republican Party. It's Trump with all the people that he has put in place. And I think he spent the last few months, even before he knew he was going to win the election, organizing and strategizing behind the scenes to bring in the right experts with the right America First determination who would not fold under the pressures that they're facing and that they will continue to face from Democrats and the media. So I think he came in office prepared this time to do this quickly, and it is a little fast. It is a little fast, surprisingly fast.
Cheryl Chumley is our guest. Her most recent piece that you can read at WashingtonTimes.com is entitled Trump Effect Spreads from Columbia to California and All Places in Between. It's dated today. And, of course, her new book, God Given or Bust, Defeating Marxism and Saving America with Biblical Truths. And she's kind enough to join us on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. I spoke with a few people who said, you know, let's not make too big a deal about the Columbia situation because that could wind up backfiring. But I think that's a perfect example of, you know, it's not going to work with every world power. But, you know, once again, and I don't mean to make much of this, but you take a look at the official portrait of the president and now the official portrait of the first lady, and I've got a sense of I'm not messing with these people.
Yeah, it's great. You know, when I think of that Columbia situation, it's hilarious to me. I mean, you know, the guy's like, no, I'm not taking these back. And then, you know, a blink of an eye later, okay, I fumbled, I'll take them back. So it's just, it's the Trump effect, right? And you're right, you can't just do that with every nation. But America at its strongest is a nation that is a massive force around the world who nobody wants to challenge. And so this is the type of nation that we were supposed to be, that founding fathers gave us, that God gave us, actually, with American exceptionalism. It's the kind of nation that we lost sight of under Barack Obama and then under Joe Biden. And it's really just the golden age of Americanism that's coming back into play here. And you can't do that with every nation, but you won't have to, because the message is getting out that America is strong under this administration, and more governments than not will willingly work and cooperate with America now, even if it means losing the cushy benefits they had under the Democrats.
And once again, the way that he just handled these California politicians, that truly is the best example of how not to run your state. And the fact that he had the facts right there in front of them, the California governor certainly bowed down at the tarmac, and the Los Angeles mayor, I'm not sure she yet realizes what hit her when he came through.
Yeah, I don't think Newsom has much of a political future in terms of running for president because of his handling of the wildfires. And it wasn't even that so much as it was his failure to acknowledge the failures. Even in a politically correct manner, right? He should have stepped forward, and he had opportunity to be a strong leader, but he still kept bucking the common sense way of handling these wildfires. So Donald Trump coming in, boom, taking care of that, bam, taking care of this, and now Governor Newsom is really struggling to maintain and hold on to his political career, which included presidential aspirations.
It was not that long ago when there was talk that Joe Biden might step aside and there'd be an open primary. Now, this would have required him to step aside much earlier in calendar 2024 or even before, but Everyone was talking about how does Newsom or Whitmer get around Harris, because you know those were your strong choices. Well, yeah, not looking so good right now. And again, does it not make your point? The California example, does that not make your point about American exceptionalism? That's an example of not American exceptionalism, and you can point to so many others, like snowbelt states that never have 8 inches of snow. They were able to clear those in a once-in-a-generation snowfall. At the same time, California, which is on fire every year, had no idea what to do, ostensibly.
Yeah, and most of that, the wildfires, most of that was due to decades-long Democrat control and radical environmentalism preventing people from taking the proper steps that they needed to protect their properties from wildfires. I mean, this isn't a shock about the wildfires. People have been talking about it for years and saying that California and other states with similar threats need to take common sense measures, such as clearing of shrubs, right, to prevent wildfires from destroying properties. But radical environmentalists didn't want to do that. They also didn't want to ensure that there were adequate supplies of water to fight fires, because they cared about a little fish more than they did the citizens. And again, this is more and more evidence of Democrats' inability to legislate, to execute with any sort of competency. And, you know, Donald Trump, again, he comes in and blink of an eye a minute later and problem is getting solved.
CherylChumley.com, her excellent website. And again, the new book, God Given or Bust. So to pick up on what you said at the outset of our conversation today, and it's a good way to wrap up our time today, it's like Donald Trump.
Hi, everyone. Tom Mustin here for the Legal Help Center. If you or someone you know were diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma within the past 20 years, listen up. You could be entitled to significant compensation. For years, the weed killer Roundup was used in homes, farms, and gardens. And now studies have proved a direct link between Roundup and this deadly cancer. So if you or someone you know have been diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, call us and find out if you qualify for a cash settlement. Call 800-266-6200. That's 800-266-6200. Time to file a claim is running out, so don't delay. The call is free, the consultation is free, and you can find out if you qualify for a monetary reward. Call 800-266-6200. That's 800-266-6200. Call now. Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center. May not be available in all states.
Defeating Marxism. All right, so with that as the example, what we see coming out of this tornado coming out of Washington, what can Americans do to help support that in concert with what you're talking about a return to the biblical truths and the true underpinnings of this nation and how rights are derived?
Well, there are many examples that I give in the book what we can do, but just take, for example, what Donald Trump is doing. He makes a statement. He takes a stand, he resolves and determines to put America first, and then he follows through. If you as an individual just take a stand on a principle and resolve to follow through with what works best for American citizens in your own little area of influence, then that would do much toward reeling back Marxists. Marxists only come out of the corner when they sense fear and they see space where they can maneuver and step into. Otherwise, they stay back in the corner. They're afraid to speak out because they know Americans won't stand for it. So if we as Americans won't stand for Marxists in our country, then the Marxists won't be here. It's as simple as that.
Cheryl Chumley, Washington Times Bold and Blunt podcast. And again, the new book, God Given or Bust, Defeating Marxism and Saving America with Biblical Truths. I always enjoy our conversations. Thanks for the time today.
Thanks so much, Jeff. God bless.
You as well. CherylChumley.com, the website. And she joined us on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line on the Todd Starnes Show. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd today. Todd is back in the air chair tomorrow. 901-260-5926. That's how you can join the Coast to Coast conversation. Get on the board, and we'll take your calls after this short break. This is the Todd Starnes Show. Welcome back to the Liberty University studio and the Todd Starnes Show. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd today, 901-260-5926, if you'd like to weigh in on all the news of the day. The U.S. Senate has voted to confirm Sean Duffy, the former congressman from Wisconsin, as transportation secretary. The vote today, now this is interesting, 77-22. That's still a pretty good margin. Well, yesterday, the filibuster was cleared so that this nomination could be voted on, and they voted 97-0 to allow the vote. So why the difference? Why is it that it was 97-0 to go to the vote, but when it was time for the vote, 22 voted against? Well, the reporting of some, including the excellent Fox News Capitol Hill senior reporter Chad Pergram, is that some Democrats voted no to protest the Office of Management and Budget memo that was issued that would withhold or suspend federal funds. So in other words, we don't like that you might actually control spending, so we're going to vote against the transportation secretary. In typical Washington speak, sure, I guess that makes sense. But by the way, Washington Post is reporting that the White House has issued a memo that this is not a freeze on all financial distribution and assistance. So, again, inaccurate reporting may have caused a bit of a problem. But we have a transportation secretary now, and Mayor Pete has left, apparently thinking about running for the U.S. Senate out of the state of Michigan. I don't know. I thought he was from Indiana. I'm not sure what his Michigan ties are, but apparently anybody can move any place these days. And apparently people have been able to come through the southern border for, who knows how long, certainly the last 4 years. Tom Holman is taking care of all that, and ABC's Martha Raddatz tried to pin him into a corner. What will success look like of these efforts?
So tell me what the definition of success is over the next 6 months, over the next year, by the end of the administration. What is mission accomplished here?
Taking as many public safety threats off the street as possible. Watching illegal alien crime in the United States decrease. Ending it. Deporting every illegal alien gang member in this country, including Trenda Awa and MS-13. Making our country safe. When we see the crime rate from illegal aliens go down, that's a success. Every public safety threat we remove from this country is a success. Every national security threat that we find removed from country is a success. There's no number on it. So my success can be based on what Congress gives us. More money, the better we're going to do.
I noticed you didn't put in that list of things that will be mission accomplished and success, getting every immigrant who is in the country illegally out. Why not?
Because I'm being realistic. We can do what we can with the money we have. We're going to try to be efficient, but with more money we have, the more we can accomplish. If I don't have the money to remove that millions of people, then I'm not going to sit here and no one can say I haven't been frank in everything I've said. Our success every day is taking a public safety threat off the streets or getting a national security threat out of here.
They want to try to pin him into a number, just like the folks over at CBS tried to pin J.D. Vance down and say, well, you didn't roll back grocery prices on day one. Okay, this literal when they think they've got you in the corner. She wanted to get him to come up with a number so they could measure success or failure, and then they could try to say how unrealistic the number is. And Holman has it exactly right. Mr. Holman is going to take care of business because, remember, the Obama administration got a lot of people removed. A lot of people. Who was in charge of that effort? Oh, right, this guy. Democrats didn't have a problem then. But again, as we often say, where you stand depends on where you sit on various issues. No, it's not a number. It is how do we make the country safer? And you're already seeing some of these stories. I saw it on the News Nation channel the other night where they're trying to make us feel sorry for these folks who came here illegally with children. You know, what happens if they get caught up in deportation? You're here illegally. That's a crime. You should be detained just like any other crime. And as Mr. Homan quite accurately said, and this is my background as a criminal defense attorney speaking, if you're going to arrest someone with a warrant or because there's cause, you're going to go arrest someone, and on the way you see other illegal activity take place, you can take care of that other illegal activity. So if we're coming for really bad guys, but we see others, we're not going to ignore it. And that is how you retain the security of your nation. Hour one done. Hour two coming up. Jeff Stein in for Todd. This is the Todd Starn Show.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starr.
Satsas, that's right, I love this American ride.
Wherever you're listening across this, the greatest nation God ever blessed, welcome to Hour 2 of a Tuesday edition of the Todd Starn Show, coast to coast on more than 150 tremendous radio stations and streaming live at toddstarns.com. Hello, fellow patriots. Jeff Stein coming to you today from the free state of Iowa and my home base at News Talk 1540 KXEL in Cedar Rapids and Waterloo. The 50,000-watt blowtorch scorching the heartland with accurate news and reasonable views. Todd is taking care of broadcasting business today. Part of his job as a small business owner, like many of you, he'll be back in the air chair tomorrow, but it's my privilege to be with you here in the Liberty University studio today. 901-260-5926. Same number as always, 901-260-5926. We'll take your calls in the next segment. But we go now to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, and we're pleased to welcome Beau French. Mr. French is chairman of the Tarrant County Republican Party. That's in Texas, Fort Worth, right in the heart of it. Largest red county in America. Thank you very much. Mr. French, Jeff Stein filling in for Todd. How are you today?
Jeff, what an honor to speak to you today. How are you?
I am quite well, and you folks are standing up down there, and I have great admiration for how Texas has stood to protect the entire nation with this immigration issue. I find it interesting, though, that apparently your school district there in Fort Worth doesn't care much for the truth being told by a substitute teacher. I don't know how many people listening right now know the story, but please give us the background.
Well, I think, look, this is just a problem in most of the government-funded school systems. I mean, they're run primarily leftist. They party lines. But, yeah, here we had a teacher that wanted to report some illegal aliens in school. And by I'm told that we have as many as 40% of our students in the Fort Worth Independent School District are illegal aliens. And that comes directly from a board member. So it is a problem here. But this teacher should be heralded as a hero, and instead they've opened investigations to try to, you know, punish this type of behavior, reporting on illegal aliens in our schools and in our cities is somehow frowned upon by the left. So, yeah, we are coming to the defense of this teacher and suggesting that more of this needs to happen. And, in fact, I'm hoping that, you know, a lot of these aliens will just protest and announce their protest ahead of time so that I'm people up.
We're having just a little problem with your phone, so we'll keep going on this. There, you may need to find a different position there, Mr. French. But this is the post on the Twitter X where this substitute teacher said, and I'm going to read it, "Y'all should come to Fort Worth, Texas to Northside High School. I have many students who don't even speak English, and they are in 10th or 11th grade. They have to communicate through their iPhone translator with me." And I agree with you. Yeah, let's have them protest, because then, as they wave the flags from their home nations, ICE can just come on in there. I have to think, Mr. French, though, that if a teacher was blowing the whistle on, I don't know, the wrong food being served in the cafeteria, or somebody who wore a MAGA cap to class, then the school would be celebrating them, but not this.
Well, that's exactly what we've seen just with the whole cancel culture. I mean, you know, we've had reports here in the last few years of students being punished for, you know, seniors in high school painting their reserved parking spots with something having to do with 47 or MAGA or something like that. And you know, so those types of things, it's fine to report on, but you're right. Actual criminals reporting that activity, entering our country, is illegal. So actually reporting on criminals is frowned on by the left.
What should this teacher or others similarly situated, what should this teacher have done, or what would you suggest like-minded individuals like this teacher do for maximum impact? It's easy to post a tweet, but that may not be the best way to go about it.
Yeah, well, ICE has a hotline where you can call and report illegal aliens, and I think more people need to exercise that route. That certainly is the safest and least publicly visible way to do that. But at the same time, those of us who are on social media need to be using our voice to encourage people to do the right thing and make it okay to stand up for what is, you know, what we believe is good and right and true.
The school has said that this teacher is not welcome on school property at this point. They are doing an investigation to ensure appropriate actions are taken. I presume, Mr. French, that has to do with retribution against this teacher, or making sure he or she is never on the substitute list again. Whatever happened to appropriate actions to make sure that the educational opportunities for the students in the school are enhanced?
Yeah, I mean, this is just a problem with the way leftists think. You know, they want to punish people for doing the right thing and discourage people from doing the right thing. But you're right. I mean, it is time. I think there's a reason President Trump received such a mandate, because this lunacy has gone on for far too long. It is time that we as Americans stand up for America and Americans and push back on all the nonsense that they've shoved down us. You know, if you just look at Fort Worth ISD, if it is in fact 40%, and I don't care if it's 20% or 50%, it doesn't really matter what the number is, but if that is how many illegal aliens we have, I know that in Fort Worth we have an entire campus devoted to non-English speaking students, and they're not only are they non-English speaking, they're non-Spanish speaking, which means they're speaking Farsi and Chinese and every other language under the sun, but not English or Spanish. So we have that right here in Fort Worth. If we have that here in Fort Worth, I guarantee you it's all over the country. We have, you know, our taxpayer dollars going to fund the education of illegal aliens. In Texas alone, we estimate it's somewhere between $7 and $10 billion a year to educate illegal aliens.
That's just staggering. And I'm here in the state of Iowa, where for the past 40 years we have had issues with immigration issues, illegal immigrants, and the meatpacking industry. And so I know what they do to towns around here. I've known what they've done to the school districts. I saw something on the news, and I think I have this right. There were some folks in the Dallas area who were protesting the ICE raids, or just simply ICE following the law, enforcing the law. And so they were blocking major thoroughfares and waving flags from their countries of origin. And I saw some people on social media say, well, that ought to make it easier to figure out where to send them back to. Did anyone get apprehended as a result of that very public demonstration?
Well, nothing is going to endear the American public to the cause of illegal aliens than, you know, protests blocking traffic and waving flags from foreign countries. I mean, these people have lost their minds. They're so entitled. You know, they come here, they get free cell phones, they get actual cash stipends, they get free health care, free education. In some cases, as I've detailed on my page, lawyers paid for, you know, via money coming through Catholic Charities. To try to get legal immigration status. I mean, the whole system is so corrupt. These people are so entitled. It is time, you know, we have funded this from an America last perspective. It is time we turn back to an America first perspective. And, you know, Donald Trump has started that process, and we have a lot of work to do, and I'm excited for what the future holds.
Beau French is chairman of the Tarrant County Republican Party in Texas. Thanks so much for bringing this to our attention, and keep up the effort, sir. We need it.
Jeff, thank you so much. Pleasure to talk to you today.
Privileged to talk to you, sir. Beau French, and he's on the Twitter X machine at Beau_French_TX. And he joined us on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. The youngest press secretary in American history has just begun her first briefing, Caroline Leavitt. Let's go to the podium at the White House if we can.
First, Mike Allen from Axios, Matt Boyle from Breitbart. Mike, why don't you go ahead?
Thank you very much. Caroline, does the president see anything fishy about DeepSeek, either its origins or its cost? And could China's ability to make these models quicker, cheaper, affect our thinking about expanding generation data centers, chip manufacturing?
Sure. The president was asked about DeepSeek last night on Air Force One when he gaggled for, I think, the third or fourth time throughout the weekend with members of the traveling press corps. The president said that he believes that this is a wake-up call to the American AI industry. The last administration sat on their hands and allowed China to rapidly develop this AI program. And so President Trump believes in restoring American AI dominance. And that's why he took very strong executive action this past week to sign executive orders to roll back some of the onerous regulations on the AI industry. And President Trump has also proudly appointed the first AI and crypto czar at this White House, David Sacks, whom I spoke with yesterday, very knowledgeable on this subject, and his team is here working every single day to ensure American AI dominance. As for the national security implications, I spoke with NSC this morning. They are looking into what those may be, and when I have an update, I will share it with you, Mike.
Carolyn, you say restore U.S. dominance. Is there fear that the U.S. either is falling or has fallen behind? And how would the president make sure the U.S. stays ahead?
No, the president is confident that we will restore American dominance in AI.
Yeah, so, Caroline, first off, thank you to you and President Trump for actually giving voices to new media outlets that represent millions and millions of Americans. The thing I would add, I've got a two-part question for you. The first is just can you expand upon what steps the White House is going to take to bring more voices, not less, which is what our founder, Andrew Breitbart, believed in, into this room where they rightfully belong?
Yeah. Absolutely. And as I said in my opening statement, Matt, it is a priority of this White House to honor the First Amendment. And it is a fact that Americans are consuming their news media from various different platforms, especially young people. And as the youngest press secretary in history, thanks to President Trump, I take great pride in opening up this room to new media voices to share the president's message with as many Americans as possible. In doing so, number one, we will ensure that outlets like yours, Axios and Breitbart, which are widely respected and viewed outlets, have an actual seat in this room every day. We also, again, encourage anybody in this country, whether you are a TikTok content creator, a blogger, a podcaster, if you are producing legitimate news content, no matter the medium, you will be allowed to apply for press credentials to this White House. And as I said earlier, our new media website is whitehouse.gov/newmedia. And so we encourage people to apply. Again, as long as you are creating news-related content of the day and you're a legitimate independent journalist, you're welcome to cover this White House.
All right. Now, that is Caroline Leavitt, and it's her first briefing at the White House. And as you're listening, I'm watching a closed-circuit feed of it. I'm confused about something because she's actually speaking to the folks who are asking questions. Like she's having a conversation with them. She's not looking down at a binder and reading answers verbatim. I don't understand, because for the last certainly 2.5 years, we've had somebody at this podium who did nothing but read answers from a script. And she appears to be, now I don't know this, but she appears to be speaking extemporaneously and intelligently about topics. Oh, it's a different world, isn't it, boys and girls? 901-260-5926. That's how you can join this coast-to-coast conversation in the Liberty University studio. Short break now. Back on the other side, Jeff Stein in for Todd. This is the Todd Starnes Show. Welcome back to the Liberty University studio and the Todd Starnes Show. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd today. Guest on the Todd Starnes radio program, come to you on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. You know, the First Amendment constantly under attack. You can help protect your constitutional rights by using your cell phone. I'm not talking about the calls you make. It's how you make the calls, who you use as a provider. And Patriot Mobile is America's only Christian conservative wireless provider. They have always and will always support freedom of speech, freedom of religion. They're a proud partner of this radio program. Patriot Mobile offers dependable nationwide coverage that gives you access to all three major networks, so you get the same coverage you're accustomed to, and you're not funding the left. These big companies take the money you pay them and funnel them off on causes that you don't believe in, not Patriot Mobile. When you switch to Patriot Mobile, you support organizations like First Liberty, Alliance Defending Freedom, Concerned Women for America, so many more. And their 100% U.S.-based customer service team, thank you very much, makes switching easy. You can keep your number, you can keep your phone, or you can upgrade. Their team helps you find the best plan for your needs. Go to PatriotMobile.com/Todd, or you can call 972-PATRIOT. And by the way, free activation when you use the offer code Todd. So make the switch today, PatriotMobile.com/Todd. That's PatriotMobile.com/Todd, or call 972-PATRIOT, 972-PATRIOT. Coming up just after the bottom of the hour, we'll speak with Rob Collins. He is the CEO of the Coin Credit Card, COIGN. He also at one point in his life was executive director of the National Republican Senatorial Committee, and we're going to talk about the debanking of conservatives and why Coin, for example, is a wonderful option. Caroline Leavitt continues at the podium at her first briefing at the White House. Dressed in a purple blazer. Now, normally I wouldn't comment on wardrobe, but I thought purple was an interesting and appropriate choice and a message that is sent. And at this briefing, she told us about those New Jersey drones. You recall the first night in the Oval Office and the president had members of the press there, and somebody asked about the drones, and he turned to Susie Wiles, his chief of staff, who was just off camera to the side, and said, we need to get that. Get that immediately. Well, here is the answer. Ms. Leavitt read a statement from the president, and this is the president speaking through his press secretary. After research and study, the drones flying over New Jersey in large numbers were authorized to be flown by the FAA for research and various other reasons. Many of these drones were also operated by hobbyists, recreational users, and private individuals who enjoy flying drones. While the increase in activity may have sparked curiosity and concern, I want to assure everyone, the president said, this was not the enemy. Now, I have no reason to doubt that. I mean, this president said, I'll find out, I'll let you know. And at her very first press briefing, that was the lead news, that the origins of these drones were approved for research by the FAA. Now, this is the difference between this administration and whatever we lived through for the past 4 years. Was that so hard to tell people? You had people all along the East Coast absolutely freaked out because of drones flying over New Jersey. The hysteria did not reach the Martians invading New Jersey from the Orson Welles War of the Worlds broadcast in 1938. Look it up, kids. It was a big deal. But why couldn't the Biden White House just say, no, they're fine, it's part of the FAA? Because nobody would have believed anything they said. You can believe this White House from the podium of a press secretary who does not have to read from a binder. Rob Collins of Coin Credit Card comes up after this short break. Jeff Stein in for Todd from the Liberty University Studio on the Todd Starn Show. Welcome back to the Liberty University studio in the Todd Starn Show. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd today. He'll be back tomorrow, just taking care of some radio station business. 901-260-5926 is how you can join the Coast to Coast conversation. Your calls in the next segment. But joining us now on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line is the CEO of COIGN, that's COIGN, Rob Collins. Mr. Collins, Jeff Stein in Iowa filling in for Todd. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great, Jeff. Glad to be on the show. Thanks for having me. Always appreciate it.
Good to talk to you again. Remind folks, COIGN, what is that?
Yeah, COIGN is America's first conservative credit card company. So we're a Visa credit card. We offer unlimited cash back to our customers. And every time our customers use the card at no cost to them, COIGN contributes to conservative charities. And we've been doing it since April of 2022. We've been around and growing like a weed and really enjoying the time because, let's face it, conservatives are in a pretty good mood lately and they're looking for new credit cards to celebrate and to live the lifestyle that they want to support. So it's been great.
If you go to coincard.com, C-O-I-G-N, coincard.com, you'll know that this thing has taken off, like you just said, and there's a bit of a waiting list, but get there and be ready for when you're able to get involved, because this has become a real problem, has it not? Big companies in the financial sector, and perhaps not just big companies, if they don't like your political views, you no longer get to do business with them.
That is the problem. I mean, it should be no surprise to your listeners that we bank with banks in the Midwest and Utah and other places, and it has nothing to do with the laws or regulation. It has everything to do with the banks there are more comfortable with us, but also they still have this quaint notion or this old-fashioned notion of doing business with people who are going to profit the company, profit the bank, and they can turn those profits back into either more community investment or return it to their shareholders. These big coastal banks like Bank of America don't feel that pressure. They, none of them would bank with us. We talked to them all, and they would kind of pat us on the head and say, well, you know, we have they call it San Francisco, is what one person called it. We have San Francisco risk. We can't afford to do business with you. So, it made life harder. You know, they're the big people, and they can do big stuff. So we wouldn't have a wait list if we had, you know, bigger opportunities. But that's okay. We're going to build it with great banks in the Midwest, and we'll show them that these big banks missed a huge opportunity.
Well, and again, it just shows that this not only was a good idea but was needed. The mere fact that the demand has outstripped initial supply. This was something that, when Mr. Trump, President Trump, spoke to the folks at Davos recently, he called folks out, and let's remind the audience what that sounded like.
I hope you start opening your bank to conservatives, because many conservatives complained that the banks are not allowing them to do business within the bank, and that included a place called Bank of America. They don't take conservative business. And I don't know if the regulators mandated that because of Biden or what, but you and Jamie and everybody, I hope you're going to open your banks to conservatives, because what you're doing is wrong.
Now, Rob Collins, after that, Bank of America and other folks started posting on social media, we've never done such a thing. We have never debanked conservatives, which only led to a zillion responses from people who could, they had the receipts, as the kids say, they could show exactly how they had been debanked, deplatformed. Do they have any sense? Do they think that just if they said, well, we haven't been doing this, no one's going to pay attention anymore? That seems silly.
Yeah, I mean, my guess is legally what they're saying is probably true. Like, they didn't say no because you're a conservative. But, oh, you're a gun manufacturer? Oh, you're a large Christian church organization? You didn't meet our minimum threshold at X or Y or Z. And they find a way to say no to new customers. And then I've heard, because, you know, obviously I'm in the space, from a number of people, including large churches that have had relationships with big banks for decades. One called me, and they had 250 employee credit cards that were canceled in 2 days, and it was because the bank made a strategic decision. I'm using air quotes here, listeners can't see, but yes, a strategic decision to get out of this sector. And he was like, "You mean Christian churches?" And they were like, "No, it's more, you know, like the name." It was a bunch of bush words. But, I mean, so I'm so glad people are holding folks accountable. And that's the great thing about having, you know, censorless Twitter, is that people can feel empowered to come and say, "Well, that's just not true." And they're very clever about how they do it. But there are preferred industries. And let's never forget, last year, Senator Tim Scott asked Treasury a bunch of questions while the anti-terrorism group at Treasury, which is supposed to be monitoring terrorist financing, had requested from Bank of America and other firms financial information, purchase information from American citizens, and they keyword searched Bible, gun purchases, if you were on a flight to D.C. in the month of January 6th, and over 200 Americans' names were sent by private companies to the FBI to be investigated. So, you know, the idea that there hasn't been a bias against conservatives with the big banks is laughable on its face. I'm so glad so many citizens are stepping up and saying that's not true. But also, let's not forget that Tim Scott has an investigation ongoing right now wondering why American citizens' data was handed over without a warrant to federal agencies that were investigated based on keyword searches of their private purchases.
And voluntarily, again, is the point. Because, again, as a lawyer, if these people were contacting me and said, well, the government wants us to give them what is supposed to be confidential data about our customers and their transactions, I'm going to say make them get a warrant. Because I don't recall any credit card agreement that I've gone along with saying that they can just turn things over to the government voluntarily in an effort especially to prosecute me. And they didn't even think twice about it, which ought to show you that regardless of what they may say now, how can we trust them?
Right, 100% correct, which is, imagine, first off, Coin doesn't do that. Two, imagine if those key term searches went from conservative to, say, environmentalist, or gun purchase was changed to, you know, some, you know, protected speech, you know, I can't think of what the word is, but those lawyers inside those big firms would have been like, absolutely not, we're not cooperating with the government, they need the warrant. But because of this bias, they're like, oh, the government wants key, you know, purchase data, financial activity from private American citizens because they're conservatives? Sure, absolutely. Yeah, that's no problem. And that's the fundamental problem we have in big finance.
And I'm only laughing because I'm just imagining themselves falling all over themselves to provide the data to curry favor with the government. And I don't know that it will be different with a new White House in charge. In other words, you could say, well, they weren't necessarily politically aligned, but that was the government in power, and they just wanted to, you know, play nice with the government. I don't see these people, these actors, giving the Trump administration any leeway or any grace or any information.
No, I think they'll resist anything from the Trump administration. But it was great that President Trump called this out and put a spotlight on it. And that's really what I think he's done, which is, he's opened the eyeballs, and hopefully, you know, citizens who are being debanked will use existing laws to start to cause trouble and start to question, you know, why they were debanked and why they were not able to get access to capital based on some decision made by another human being, which arguably is discrimination. And what, you know, what was the business case for this? And so, I'm an optimist, or I wouldn't be at a startup. So I always hope that, you know, President Trump pushing and, like I said, shining a light on this and calling out companies by name. You know, let's face it, a year ago when Bank of America had said we had no problem banking conservatives, I mean, that's a step forward. We have to acknowledge the step forward, but we also have to try to make it permanent that we don't step back when, you know, instinctively they want to.
Very successful startup, we might say. Coin, COIGN.com. Rob Collins is the CEO of Coin, and he joins us on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line on the Todd Starnes Show. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd today. I've mentioned that you previously were the head of the National Republican Senatorial Committee, and the news came today that Democrat U.S. Senator from Michigan, Gary Peters, has said, I'm not running for re-election in 2026. I guess he's 66 years of age, has been in Congress for about a decade and a half, and figures it's time to hand it off. Given the fact that typically in the midterm, when a Republican is president, Democrats do very well. Doesn't matter who the president is. Typically, that's how it works, and vice versa. For a Democrat to say, you know, I think I'm going to bow out after this, am I reading too much into that in terms of how bad off the Democrat Party may be at this point after the debacle of 2024?
Well, it's a really interesting point. I hadn't considered it. I'd heard he was stepping down, and I heard, you know, Governor Whitmer is taking a look at the seat, and I'm sure the Democrats are going to roll out the blue carpet to try to get it a run. But, you know, you raise a really interesting point, which is, you know, at the federal, the presidential level, Michigan for 50 years was a pretty solid state for the Democrat, 40 years for the Democratic Party. And, you know, with Trump and the inroads the Republicans have made, Michigan's a lot more purple than it used to be. Remember, Ohio used to be a bellwether, and now Ohio's solidly Republican, and that kind of populism is creeping north. So you're right. I wonder if Gary Peters, you know, was looking at a long 2 years, hard campaign, and he'd have to go raise a couple hundred million dollars to be in that seat, and looked at it and said, you know what, I'm 66, I can have another career, and I'm going to go home. But regardless of why he stepped down, I think it provides a huge opportunity for the Republicans to, you know, find a good candidate who can win statewide, get them through the primary, and, you know, really take a seat off the table. That would be tremendous. And, you know, that is kind of what you hope when you see, you know, the parties reaching out to Governor Kemp. And, you know, Governor Kemp and Trump haven't always been the closest of friends, let's say, but, you know, when everyone's focused on governing and winning and expanding this majority, strange bedfellows can occur. So my hope is that, you know, like I said, they find a great candidate and we can grab one back, because Michigan wants to be more red. It's just, you know, Detroit and the surrounding collar counties really kind of drag it left. So there's a real opportunity there.
The story today is that Pete Buttigieg is thinking of running. Now, I don't know what his ties are to Michigan. I thought he was Mr. Indiana guy.
Yeah, I mean, he was mayor of South Bend.
Yeah.
And that is on a border, and they share the same media market, but that's still a different state. I mean, I'm not an expert in geography, but I do know that Indiana and Michigan are two separate states. And unfortunately for Mayor Pete, which built his fame on being mayor of South Bend, that's still in Indiana. So. Yeah, you know, Scott, Scott Brown, he's the only candidate and lately that I've known to successfully go from Massachusetts to New Hampshire. And successfully, what I mean is he transferred and ran for New Hampshire Senate in 2014. Mm-hmm. And it was successful because he ran against a very popular incumbent, kept her to a very close margin. He still lost the race, but it was, I think, 3 points. So, but traditionally, that's pretty hard to do. There's been a couple who've tried it. That's pretty tough sledding. So I think Mayor Pete may have more fans whispering in his ear that it's easy than probably politically practical.
Seems like historically it has to be New York, and your name has to be either Kennedy or Clinton.
Exactly.
For that carpetbagger thing to work.
Yeah.
Coin.com, COIGN.com. And again, there's a wait list. Let's say that I'm someone who wants to get with the Coin program. Do you have any sense of when you're able to expand with these great banks in the Midwest and other places?
Yeah, we're made tremendous progress. Well, you know, a lot of folks we had two great things occur. One, we opened up the gates. And we thought we would, you know, have them open until the end of the year. And we signed up so many people, we actually closed them 8 weeks early. And then we had a presidential election, so we had certainty. And, you know, the finance folks, financial world, they thrive on certainty. So they were like, We don't care if Biden wins or Trump wins. As bankers, as people, they care. But as bankers, we just want certainty. So now that we have a big customer base, we have a big wait list, and we have certainty in kind of regulations and government, I predict in the next few weeks here we'll be able to get back to work here. We still have cards that function, but start adding folks is probably a more accurate way to say that. And we're working on things furiously. Just left a meeting where we were talking to folks about just building bigger facilities and, you know, building the startup credit card. I liken it to, remember those rides? They called it the pirate ride at the state fair, you know,
sure.
And you swing back and forth. But when you first get on, you do little swings. And it gets bigger and bigger and bigger until you're horizontal with the top bar there. So we're, you know, that's kind of where we are. So I appreciate everyone's patience. We're going to get this thing up back, taking new customers here very soon. But yeah, it's been, like I said, we grew so fast last year, even in the midst of a presidential election and all the election stuff and all the craziness. People saw it and were like, I'm going to sign up. And it was very fast, it was very efficient. People love it, and they're using that card. So we're blessed. I mean, we are just so lucky to be in this position and looking forward to this year and growing bigger.
See, the difference is at the state fair, they've got a belt that keeps you in your seat. If it's a startup and you're flying like that, I don't think you're wearing a safety belt, are you?
No, it's very safe. It's a matter of time, you know. It's always
sure.
A matter of, you know, like, go prove this, then you prove it, and they got to look at it for 6 months and kick the tires there under the hood and make you start it up. And they, you know, say, okay, go prove that. And you got to wait another 6 months. They, you know, have the same conversations you had 6 months ago. But, you know, that's why they're successful bankers and I'm not. You know, they're very, very thorough, very cautious, very, you know, but they're thrilled with what they're seeing, and all the conversations are going great. So I feel great about where we are. We're going to be fine. We're going to be, we're going to be bigger this year than we were last year, and giving more money to charity than we ever had before. So I'm really excited about Coin and everything that our customers. I mean, we have the best customers. They call us and they want to work for us. They want to invest with us. They want to get a flyer and show their friends. I mean, they're just the best people on the earth.
No, it's a great story, and it's going to get even bigger. Mr. Collins, thanks so much for taking time. I appreciate it. We'll talk again.
All right, Jeff. I really appreciate it. Have a great rest of your day.
You as well, sir. Rob Collins is CEO of Coin, and he joined us on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Jeff Stein in for Todd. Come on back. More of the Todd Starnes Show in a moment.
Here in New York City this morning, we are getting the dirt bags off these streets.
Those are the words of the Secretary of Homeland Security, Kristi Noem. We're getting these dirt bags off the streets, as she walked the streets of New York City during an ICE raid this morning. America is back. No, not that we as citizens ever left, but the government is now back, and we are all marching forward. Ralph Norman, the congressman from South Carolina, joins us next hour, as does Will Hild of Consumers Research. Jeff Stein in for Todd. Come on back to Hour 3 of the Todd Starnes Show.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Wherever you're listening across this, the greatest nation God ever blessed, welcome to Hour 3 of a Tuesday edition of the Todd Starnes Show, coast to coast on 150 fantastic radio stations. And streaming live at ToddStarnes.com. Hello, fellow patriots. Jeff Stein filling in today for Todd from the free state of Iowa and my home base at News Talk 1540 KXCL in Cedar Rapids and Waterloo. The 50,000-watt blowtorch scorching the heartland with accurate news and reasonable views. And it's always my privilege to be here in the Liberty University studio. Todd is back tomorrow, taking care of things for the business. He's a small business owner, as you know, so he's taking care of business today. Back here with you tomorrow. We'll take your calls in the next segment at 901-260-5926. Same number as always, 901-260-5926. But we begin this hour by going to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, and it is a privilege to connect again with Congressman Ralph Norman, who proudly represents the 5th Congressional District of South Carolina. Congressman Norman, Jeff Stein filling in for Todd. How are you, sir?
Doing fine, Jeff. Glad to be with you.
It's a privilege to have you on. So Mr. Trump said promises made, promises kept. Apparently he's figuring he's going to keep them all in the first month. What do you make of this speed and this pace?
You know, in hearing the president speak, and we just heard from J.D. Vance, the fact that they're doing what they're doing for this country when we've been under a last 4 years have been a reign of terror, to be honest with you. And the fact that he's doing what he's doing with his executive orders, the deportation is underway. He froze the federal government, basically, from spending, which has been a complete disaster since Biden has been in. It's just a breath of fresh air is all I can say. And what a great opportunity, and they're seizing it, and we've got to deliver on it on our end.
Well, and that's why you all are gathered at this retreat or work session or whatever one wants to style it. What's been the mood, especially when the president speaks and when the vice president was just there? Is there a path that everyone is working toward, or are we still kind of figuring out some of the details?
We'll know the details when it actually goes, when the top line goes on in ink on paper. Will it be a lot of discussion and, I guess, back and forth among the members? Everybody's got an idea of how money will be spent. Mm-hmm. The good news is, and with me, Jeff, you can't go far enough in cutting spending, because I think that's the cancer in this country. Cancer can't be cured with aspirin. We cannot cure $37 trillion and counting by just platitudes. So the bottom line is, I think we will come together. I think you'll see the work in the next 2 weeks. March 14th is coming pretty quick. And but we don't have time to waste. The runway to get this house and our financial house in order in America is here and now. And hopefully we'll come to a conclusion and a solution that helps the country, and I think we will.
Many of us have suggested, and obviously smarter people than me have come up with the idea, but Mr. Trump has signed a number of executive orders, which obviously can be overturned by the next person 4 years later. Has there been conversation about how to take some of those really good ideas from the executive orders and turn them into lasting legislation in Congress?
Well, that'll be next. The American people are so happy to have this happen the way it is, because you know, Donald Trump is, as he did in 2016 to 2020, he delivers on all of his promises, and he does it quickly. This nation has been hemorrhaging, and the only way you stop a hemorrhage is put the tourniquet on and stop it, and he's doing that with executive orders. The next real, I guess, objective and goal is to do what he's going to do on executive orders, and then on the tax cuts, make those permanent, which I think we've got really agreement on.
We're speaking with Congressman Ralph Norman of South Carolina on the Todd Starn Show. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd today. Congressman, you mentioned the vice president, and I want to play a segment from his exchange recently on the weekend on CBS's Face the Nation, and then we'll talk a little more about immigration.
Well, Margaret, I don't agree that all these immigrants or all these refugees have been properly vetted. In fact, we know that there are cases of people who allegedly were properly vetted and then were literally planning terrorist attacks on our country. That happened during the campaign, if you may remember. So clearly not all of these foreign nationals have been properly vetted.
No, but there are 30,000 people in the pipeline, Afghan refugees.
But my primary concern as the vice president, Margaret, is to look after the American people. And now that we know that we have vetting problems with a lot of these refugee programs, we absolutely cannot unleash thousands of unvetted people into our country.
These people
are not good.
These people are vetted.
Just like the guy who planned a terrorist attack in Oklahoma a few months ago, he was allegedly properly vetted. And many people in the media and the Democratic Party said that he was properly vetted. Clearly he wasn't. I don't want my children to share a neighborhood with people who are not properly vetted. And because I don't want it for my kids, I'm not going to force any other American citizens' kids to do that either.
No, and that was a very particular case. It wasn't clear if he was radicalized when he got here or while he was living here.
I don't really care, Margaret. I don't want that person in my country, and I think most Americans agree with me.
Congressman Ralph Norman, that is the kind of plain speaking that Americans throughout the country, whether it's in my home of Iowa, yours in South Carolina, that's how we talk, and it's so nice to hear it coming from the White House.
Well, as I wish America, all of America, could have heard J.D. Vance. As my wife said, he's real.
Yes.
He had no notes. He just, and he used that example as the biased media having a presumption. And he stops them, and he's got the courage to do that, to take on the media when they're wrong. I mean, for her to say that there's the people are vetted. We know when Biden took office in 2020, the gates went down. The remain in Mexico policy was abolished. Everybody and anybody came in. We got 11,000 known murders in this country, and we got 15 to 20 million illegally. She knows that, but she just says the narrative will always be with the media, just like the question she asked J.D. Vance, and he called her on it. And it's not just one. What about Lincoln Riley? What about the girls who are the undocumented, the documented children who are in this country, no parents, that are in sex trades and being abused and whatnot? And, you know, his other message after that was for us to go into every news outlet and tell our story, whether they're friendly or not. The question he answered was unfriendly. That's okay. He did well, and he told the truth, which is always a good thing to do, and he did it, and he's got the courage to continue doing it.
Congressman Ralph Norman of South Carolina joining us on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line on the Todd Starnes Show. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd. So what's the schedule for the rest of this little summit meeting or get-together for the Republican caucus? How does this play out this week, calendar-wise? And I'm just ignorant of that. I don't know what your schedule is. And how does it get to the next stage of the well of the House?
Well, we'll continue today in breakout sessions. You've got different committee heads saying what the plan is, and they're being questioned on what is next. And next is we'll be in Washington next week, and the Budget Committee, which I'm on, will be meeting to come up with a resolution, which we will do. And the American people will see when our top line numbers are in ink and dried on the paper as to what we're going to do with the with reconciliation and with deficits, how we're going to handle it. So the next 2 weeks is going to be very important.
If you were to come back in 2 weeks and report on what was done, what would you want to tell Todd? I mean, what is it that's on your list that you'd like to have everyone buy into?
What I would like to have everyone buy into is the fact that we know that if we're not on a fiscal course of sanity, meaning spending more than we make, if we don't stop that, the outlook is not good. I don't know how many more times our debt has to be downgraded, how those who are buying our bonds are nervous now about America's ability to repay it. If we don't handle that, everything else is a moot point. What would I like to see? I'd like to see a realistic number of actual cuts. And Trump is doing a lot with regulations because that has a price tag to it. But we got to follow it up with real cuts and reprioritizations. Having transgender surgeries in the military is not a priority. Having woke issues being a focus is not a priority. Building ships, planes to defend us is a priority. And that's where his nominees are going to play such a big role, which will do a tremendous job. But now I want to see some meaningful cuts. I want to see some something that we can get across to the Senate. And America will be better off if we do that.
Congressman, thanks so much for the time. Thanks so much for steadfastly watching the pennies. And we'll talk to you again soon. It's always a privilege.
My privilege. Thank you, Jeff. Bye.
Congressman Ralph Norman, 5th District, South Carolina, and he joined us on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, where the Republicans are gathered in Florida for this little summit or strategy session. And let's see what comes of it. There's a lot of enthusiasm. Now let's see if we channel that in the right direction. There was a lot of enthusiasm when Press Secretary Caroline Leavitt gave her press briefing today, the first one of the administration. Lasted about 50 minutes, 50, just under an hour. no real notes, and speaking extemporaneously as opposed to the script that her predecessor was stuck with. We'll give you some samples of that in a moment. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd from the Liberty University studio on the Todd Starn Show. Welcome back to the Liberty University studio and the Todd Starn Show. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd today. 901-260-5926 is how you can connect with us. And as always, thanks to Team Starnes for taking care of business. Cassie screening your calls. Ben is arranging this great quintet of guests. Dylan, as always, is at the controls of the mighty Wurlitzer, and I appreciate all of the efforts that allows me just to roll in here like the substitute teacher and just pick up the lesson plans and on you go. Talk about a different lesson plan. There was no transition there, but I want to talk about Caroline Leavitt. Now, as the White House press secretary, she held her first briefing today from the podium. And as we'll hear in Cut 10, Dylan, she delivered some news.
And before I turn to questions, I do have news directly from the President of the United States that was just shared with me in the Oval Office from President Trump directly, an update on the New Jersey drones. After research and study, the drones that were flying over New Jersey in large numbers were authorized to be flown by the FAA for research and various other reasons. Many of these drones were also hobbyists, recreational and private individuals that enjoy flying drones. In time, it got worse due to curiosity. This was not the enemy.
Was that so hard, Biden administration? Was it so hard to tell a worried public that these were not from the enemy? It makes no sense to have kept that information from the public. Now, there may be some who doubt the information she just gave, but it seems to be pretty plausible. So again, why, Biden administration, did you not respond and simply say something? Well, again, probably because you had zero credibility based on everything else that came out of that White House for 4 years. In Cut 12, Ms. Leavitt tells us it's a new spokesperson at the podium.
Of both parties in this job, when you're up here in this briefing room speaking to the American public, do you view yourself and your role as speaking on, advocating on behalf of the president or providing the unvarnished truth that is, you know, not to lie, not to obfuscate to the American people?
I commit to telling the truth from this podium every single day. I commit to speaking on behalf of the President of the United States. That is my job. And I will say it's very easy to speak truth from this podium when you have a president who is implementing policies that are wildly popular with the American people. And that's exactly what this administration is doing. It's correcting the lies and the wrongs of the past 4 years, many of the lies that have been told to your faces in this very briefing room. I will not do that.
It's also easy when you've got a president who is approachable, likes to talk about issues, and is willing to mix it up. I mean, it just shows everybody's rowing in the same direction. And that, of course, is so important. Now, we've been talking a lot about immigration today. And there's a lot of concern out there about, well, who's being picked up? Who's being apprehended? And the administration has said through its various spokespeople and folks responsible that it was going to be the worst of the worst. And as, again, as the kids say, Caroline Leavitt had the receipts on that today at that news conference.
On January 23rd, ICE New York arrested a Turkish national for entry without inspection who is a known or suspected terrorist. On January 23rd, ICE San Francisco arrested a citizen of Mexico unlawfully present in the United States who has been convicted of continuous sexual abuse of a child aged 14 years or younger. ICE St. Paul has arrested a citizen of Honduras who was convicted of fourth-degree criminal sexual conduct with a minor. ICE Buffalo arrested a citizen of Ecuador who has been convicted of rape. ICE Boston arrested a citizen of the Dominican Republic who has a criminal conviction for second-degree murder. This criminal was convicted of murder for beating his pregnant wife to death in front of her 5-year-old son. An ICE St. Paul also arrested a citizen of Mexico who was convicted of possessing pornographic material of a minor on a work computer. These are the heinous individuals that this administration is removing from American communities every single day. And to the brave state and local law enforcement officers, CBP, and ICE agents who are helping in the facilitation of this deportation operation, President Trump has your back, and he is grateful for your hard work.
There was another point at this breath of fresh air news briefing today where Ms. Leavitt was asked about, well, are all of these people criminals that are being rounded up? Are they all criminals? And she answered quite accurately, and as we have said on this program many times, coming into this country illegally is a crime. So yes, they're all criminals. In other words, when these formerly mainstream media journalists, quote unquote, say, well, were they all criminals? Coming into this country without benefit of the proper procedure is a federal crime. So yeah, they're here illegally. It's a crime. Out you go. And high time, to be sure. High time. Ms. Leavitt also was at the podium sporting a cross very proudly. It's something we've seen Mike Lindell do over the course of his career. And before the end of the program today, I'll talk about crosses and how these are going to be even more popular. People will be less afraid to show their true faith and their true feelings, thanks to America being back with the Trump 2.0 administration. That's coming up in the next half hour. Also in the next half hour, we'll speak with the Executive Director of Consumers Research. Costco says we're all in on DEI. Well, we'll find out if that's even legal. That's next. I'm Jeff Stein, in for Todd, and this is the Todd Starn Show. To the Liberty University studio, final half hour of this Tuesday edition of the Todd Starn Show. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd, who will be back tomorrow. 901-260-5926 is how you can reach us. We'll take your calls in the next segment, but let's go now to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, and we welcome Will Hild. Mr. Hild is the Executive Director of Consumers Research. Thanks so much for taking time. How are you?
Doing great. Glad to be with you.
Tell us about Consumers Research. Who are you folks and what do you do?
Well, we're the nation's oldest consumer protection organization. We were founded in 1929. We've got a 90-plus year pedigree of educating consumers on issues important to them and amplifying their voice in the marketplace. And for the last 5 years, we've been focused on dismantling the woke capitalism monster, this ESG octopus that's been taking over corporate America and having them focus on woke activists and woke politicians instead of on serving their consumers.
DEI is something that is falling out of favor with smart businesses because they've seen what it has done to their bottom line. But Costco apparently has been doubling down of late, including a big stunt with Reverend Al Sharpton over this past weekend. But the reality is that is a dereliction of duty on the part of the folks running the place with regard to that duty to shareholders.
That's 100% right. It's a betrayal not just of their customers, but also of their legal duty to their shareholders. What happened is you had a activist group put in a shareholder proposal, a conservative activist group, asking the management to put together a report on the dangers, the legal dangers, the legal risks of them continuing their hardcore DEI policies within the company that violate a whole host of labor laws. And the company came out, management said, and said, absolutely not. Not only are we not going to do this study, we are going to double down. We are going to be doing these events with Al Sharpton, and we are going to double down on these racist, anti-white, anti-male, anti-Asian, anti-Christian policies that really are putting us on a course towards litigation. And the news of that came, the retribution has been swift because you had a 19-state AG coalition send a letter to Costco saying, listen, our understanding is you're bragging about these racist policies, these discriminatory policies that you've been conducting. You have 30 days to explain yourselves to us And if you either haven't ceased that activity or can't explain why what you're doing isn't racist, you're going to be looking at a multi-state lawsuit against your company. So it has backfired and backfired tremendously quickly.
I don't imagine Reverend Al and his whole group of people made up for what they're going to lose in what they might have bought at Costco the other day. And I don't know that any of them had a membership card. I think you have to go shopping there. But there are a couple of things that you said in there that are very important. And this transcends the Costco conversation. If it's a publicly traded stock company, there are shareholders, and the folks who are running the place have a fiduciary duty to those shareholders. Explain what that means to the average person.
That means that when a CEO or a COO or a CTO works for a company, the person that they really work for is the shareholder. The people that own the stock in the company are who they owe their legal duty to. And we have that legal obligation here in the United States to keep corporations focused on serving consumers in order to make money for the shareholders. You don't want them hijacking this business, sometimes this multi-billion dollar businesses, so that they can use it for their own purposes. And that's really what we've seen with woke capitalism. It's been the managers, not the owners of these businesses, not the customers of these businesses, but the managers who've decided to turn them into political utilities for their own private political agenda or to become an arm of the Democratic Party. That's a legal violation. That's not just obnoxious, although it is that as well. It's a legal violation of the duty that they owe to the shareholders. And so management is not only opening up Costco to lawsuits, they're opening themselves up to lawsuits because they have a duty of care, meaning if you put them on notice, as these state AGs have done, that they need to course correct or they're going to get sued, they have a legal obligation to look at that and say, okay, is what we're doing really going to help the shareholders? And there's just no argument that it is here. So you're completely correct. Not only has management endangered Costco, they've endangered themselves and their own legal liability. And frankly, they ought to be the people who pay first, not the Costco shareholders and certainly not consumers. It ought to be this boneheaded management that thinks it's more important to be discriminatory towards white people, Christians, Asian employees who studies show get hurt by DEI than it is to actually do their job.
And again, we're talking about preferences based upon race. And it doesn't matter if the preference is in favor of a traditionally disadvantaged group when we're talking about commerce like this. It's not like we're trying to equalize or settle some scores from decades past.
No, and the Supreme Court has ruled multiple times that that is the case. Racism is racism, no matter what it is you're trying to accomplish. They just reiterated that position with the Harvard admissions case, where Harvard was putting their thumb on the scale on admissions and racially discriminating against whites and Asians who, based on their scores, should have been admitted before other Hispanics and blacks that they were discriminating in favor of. And in addition to that, this is black letter labor law. This has been in existence since the Civil Rights Act. You cannot have race be even a motivating factor, even if it's not the sole motivating factor. It's not supposed to play a role in hiring at all. And in fact, no less than Mark Cuban, the billionaire, was on Twitter arguing with someone over DEI, and he said, listen, it's not the only thing I consider, but I do think about someone's race when I hire someone. And an EEOC commissioner, the people in the federal government, the Equal Opportunity Commission, who are empowered to enforce those rules against race-blind hiring, responded to him and said, Mark, you are violating the law. If this is an admission of the way you go about hiring, that is in violation of federal law around race and sex discrimination in hiring. So there's just no argument here. What they're doing is against the law.
And again, Mr. Cuban should know the distinction from when he owned the NBA basketball team. You know, there are certain jobs where you can discriminate because, for example, professional basketball, you want people of some height who can shoot. Okay, so there are certain things where the common, ordinary, average person, you know, they're not going to make the team. But we're not talking about that when we're talking about businesses. And that's also why the ESG stuff is so important. I want to ask you about that, but I want to remind the audience first that Will Hild is Executive Director of Consumers Research. He joins us on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line on the Todd Starnes program. This ESG stuff, I mean, when these folks who have a fiduciary duty in investments, et cetera, the fiduciary duty is to maximize investment. And when they are deliberately investing based on things other than maximum return, and you as the person whose money is in the fund don't know it, that, again, is a textbook definition of breach of duty, correct?
You're 100% correct, and I'm glad you brought that up, because the whole ESG woke capitalism complex, the whole grift, is based on this violation of fiduciary duty. If people were doing the job that they were hired to do, that they're legally obligated to do, none of this would be a problem. And it's not just me saying that. American Airlines, just earlier this month, lost a lawsuit. They had hired BlackRock to manage their employees' retirement plan. And BlackRock was using their money, as he's infamous for doing over there. They had used the employees' retirement to push ESG at these companies. And a judge found that was not only a violation of BlackRock's fiduciary duty, but it was a breach of the fiduciary duty that American Airlines owed its employees. They should have been keeping better watch over the job that BlackRock was doing, and now they are in the process of calculating damages. And again, it was another situation where it was really management, because one of the things that the judge found is that there was a conflict of interest between the executives at American and BlackRock, because BlackRock holds so many of the shares of American that there was concern that they would enact vengeance if American Airlines was to fire BlackRock, that they would vote against some of their boards of directors. So there's so much breach of fiduciary duty here and so much conflict of interest. I'm so glad to see the courts and the attorney generals of these states finally cracking down on this, because that's the only way we're going to get back to what we should have, which is corporations focusing exclusively on their customers in order to make money for their shareholders. That's why we have the fiduciary duty shareholders. It's not even just to make people rich. It's to keep management focused on doing their job.
So well said. Will Hild is Executive Director, Consumers Research. They're online at consumersresearch.org, and there's a nice little subtle donate button, since they are a nonprofit, in the corner of that webpage, if you are so inclined. Thanks so much for breaking this all down. Last question, what do you think is going to happen with Costco? I mean, this is pretty straightforward stuff, and you get 19 attorneys general saying, we're watching you. Are they going to knuckle under, and Reverend Al will have something else to cry about?
Well, my base case is that they will comply, because there's just no question here that race-based hiring and promotion is illegal. But Harvard should have thought the same thing, and they took it all the way to Supreme Court and ultimately lost. So if Costco wants to double down, they'll be racking up another big L for racism in this country.
Mr. Hill, thanks so much for the time. Have an excellent day, sir.
Thanks so much for having me.
Will Hild is Executive Director of Consumers Research. They're online at consumersresearch.org. And he joined us on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line here on the Todd Starnes Show. You know, in the last segment, we were hearing from the new White House press secretary. And again, what a breath of fresh air Caroline Leavitt is. And she's been on this program. She's been on my programs in Iowa in the past. And she was prominently wearing a cross. And you'll know when you first met Mike Lindell through the TV, do you remember these infomercials had the distinctive blue shirt and always was wearing a cross on the outside, just publicly declaring that he was a child of Christ. Well, for years, customers have been seeing those crosses. And they go to the MyPillow website and say, well, you know, you sell pillows and everything else. Do you sell the cross necklaces like the one Mike Lindell wears? Well, this is big news. Mike has now partnered with a jeweler, American-based, thank you very much, to create these beautiful sterling silver My Crosses. And you can save 30% today by using promo code STARNS at MyPillow.com. Click on the radio podcast square. That's MyPillow.com, radio podcast square. Or you can call 800-839-8506, 800-839-8506. Use promo code STARNS to save 30%. Women's or men's style, the My Cross for women has a more delicate look and is reversible. Mother of pearl, translucent white enamel on one side, onyx-styled black enamel on the other. The Mycross for men, slightly larger, onyx-styled black enamel, slightly longer and thicker chain. Now, this amazing offer of 30% off won't last long, so do order now, won't you? Go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio podcast square, or call 800-839-8506 and use promo code STARNS. I'll say it again, MyPillow.com, radio podcast square, or call 800-839-8506 and be sure to use promo code STARNS. Now, contrary to the formerly mainstream media, when they make a mistake and it fits their narrative, they don't correct it. We correct any slight mistakes or questions on this fine radio program. And earlier we talked about the former transportation secretary, the former mayor of South Bend, Indiana, Pete Buttigieg, and now that there will be an open seat in the state of Michigan for U.S. Senate in 2026, Democrats are saying, well, what about Mayor Pete becoming Senator Pete? And I said, well, what's he got to do with Michigan? He's an Indiana guy. Ah, here's what he has to do with Michigan. In 2022, he changed his official residence to that of his husband's hometown. Mayor Pete's husband is from Michigan. And so he moved officially while in the White House to Michigan and voted in Michigan in the last elections. So literally, Mayor Pete, Secretary Pete, perhaps Senator Pete, is a resident of Michigan. So we want to make sure that we don't cast any aspersions on him. We also see news that from the Republican side, there is talk of the former NFL Super Bowl winning coach, now NBC broadcaster, Tony Dungy. Tony Dungy's name is being mentioned as a possible candidate for U.S. Senate in Michigan. He does not live there presently, but he was born and raised there. So, again, who knows? Michigan now in play for the U.S. Senate in 2026. And, again, I just have this suspicion that the incumbent said, I think I'd like to be done with this, and I don't like the way this party is lining up, and I don't know that I want any part of it for the next 2 years. Now, again, that's just my thought, not that of the incumbent senator. Final segment coming up from the Liberty University studio. We'll take this final break, though, first. I'm Jeff Stein, filling in for Todd. This is the Todd Starn Show. Welcome back to the Liberty University studio and the Todd Starn Show. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd today. He will be back tomorrow, having taken care of some radio business today. Thanks to Todd for giving me the opportunity to speak to you again. And thanks again to Ben and Cassie and Dylan for all their excellent assistance, as always, in helping me make it through this 3 hours. There are a lot of folks filing lawsuits these days against things that Donald Trump is doing. And there are people who are just throwing up their hands and saying, oh, that's terrible. They're going to file lawsuits about everything. And my answer is, well, good. File them right now. Get them right up before a judge, because the quicker we can get this stuff resolved, the better. Like, for example, this rather unique interpretation of the 14th Amendment. And keep in mind, it was the left who tried to keep Donald Trump off of election ballots because of their wrong interpretation of the 14th Amendment. They're probably going to be wrong again. Here's the president in cut number four. Well, this is where we're talking about the 14th Amendment and the original interpretation. And I will tell you, as the very first thing they told us in law school, and I mean, I know I went a long time ago, but we had laws then. And they said the first rule of statutory construction is to read the statute or the constitutional provision. The second rule was to read it again, because there's a real tendency when you read something to think that it means what you want it to mean. And when you don't exactly know, when a court goes in to try to interpret a law or a constitutional provision, what they are doing in part, or in part of what they do, is to go back at the legislative intention. What did Congress mean when they passed the law? And sometimes they even, now this will throw the left, they do research and go back to the congressional record. And if you read the congressional record with regard to the provisions of the 14th Amendment, with regard to birthright citizenship, with regard to punishing those in insurrections, None of what the liberals today say, all of that means, none of it means that. That's not what they had in mind. Now, you could say, well, that was the 1860s, and why should we be bound by that in 2025? Well, here's why. Because the people who wrote the provision are telling you in the debate in Congress what they meant by it. And that prevails. Or it should prevail if any of these judges have an ounce of credibility. So to say wildly that Mr. Trump's order on birthright citizenship is unconstitutional, first of all, it's false. Second of all, it's lazy. And third, it probably won't be upheld. It's always a privilege, folks. Thanks so much for being here. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd from the Liberty University studio. You've been listening to the Todd Starnes Show.